There's a word that doesn't look like it amounts to very much. This is how it appears in Hebrew, as some of you have already learned. This is how it looks in Greek. Actually, there are two ways in which it appears in Greek, something which some of you have already absorbed, ou or me. And here's how it looks in English, which of course is familiar to everyone here. Not or no is not always the most impressive of words in our language. It's as common as any word could possibly be. So common, in fact, that I looked in a concordance and discovered that in that particular concordance, the editors didn't even include the listing of this word, no or not, in its catalog of words that occur in the scriptures. And yet, it is in the scriptures that this little word plays a remarkably powerful and significant role. I think it's interesting that from time to time, the Holy Spirit decided to convey some of the most positive things and powerful things about God by telling us what He is not and what He does not do. And so I plan, in connection with some of my chapel addresses this semester, to consider with you some of the passages which present us with some of these wonderfully positive nots. As we begin a school year on a campus where we recognize God's Word to be the supreme authority, it seemed fitting to consider a passage which ties this knot to God's Word. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." All those class periods on your fall semester schedule, all those blank pieces of paper that you brought in your binders, all those hours that will be spent in the dorm, in the dining hall, and elsewhere, they're all about to be filled with something. Namely, words. And if all goes as expected, by the time we arrive in May, those class periods, those pages in your binders, and those many social hours will have been filled with words too numerous for any human being to count. So which of those words will be the ones that really do count? Which of the many things that are said and heard over the course of this next year really going to make a difference, really have an impact? Your teachers, of course, will try to be careful in what they say so as to broaden your understanding in a variety of topics and areas of study. Your friends will probably be careful to say the correct things as you face various situations together. But I think we would probably be startled if a statistic were available that would reveal that by the time we get to the end of the school year, just what percentage of all the words that we've come into contact with will go in one proverbial ear and out the other. It is in contrast to the mere words of mortals, then, that the Lord reveals what does not happen with His Word. "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty." It will not fail to accomplish something. We know all about speaking words which return to us empty, about saying things, striving for things which show no visible result. But when God speaks, it's different. When His word is spoken, something always happens. That's not to say that God's word, when heard, is always embraced or believed. We know that's not the case. And yet, even a rejection of God's word is a reaction to it, isn't it? When the gospel is sounded, it does draw a response, whether negative or positive. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul illustrates this principle through the use of fragrances, aromas. "Thanks be to God," he said, "who reveals the fragrance of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are to God a sweet fragrance of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a fragrance of death unto death, and to the other, the fragrance of life unto life." God's word always gets a reaction. its proclamation always elicits a response. Remember how Simeon told Mary concerning Jesus, "This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." Sadly, there are those who reject God's word when they hear it, and in their conscious rejection of the truth, they harden themselves against an understanding of God's will and way. Those, however, in whom the Holy Spirit has used that gospel to bring about faith, it serves to strengthen and deepen one's awareness and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. This assurance that the Word of God never fails to accomplish what God intends it to do encourages us to make use of it in whatever situation we may find ourselves. If we're speaking about Jesus to someone who has not yet come to faith, this promise can embolden us to share that message, for it is that very gospel that can turn that heart around and bring a person from darkness into light. If we are speaking about Jesus to someone who has already come to faith, then this promise is an encouragement to use that word to help strengthen the faith of our Christian brother or sister. Doesn't that simple fact hold great promise for the new year before us? When the Word of God is spoken in classrooms, things happen. When the Word of God is shared in dining hall or in dorm, things happen. For nothing is more useful, powerful, productive, and helpful than the Word of God which we can bring. We all know how easy it is, unfortunately, to fill our conversation with things that don't encourage, with things rather that distract and actually destroy. Bad-mouthing, gossip, humanistic philosophy, foul language. But we need to remember that such things as these only hurt. They hurt ourselves as well as those against whom they are spoken. "He that would love life and see good days," says Peter, "let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile." If we want it to be a good year in which positive things happen, we want to fill it with the Word of God, which does not return empty, but which does accomplish all the good things which he intends. No doubt this will be a year which sees the kinds of rains and snows used by Isaiah as illustrations. May the sight of those showers remind us of the tremendous and wonderful blessings which come to us through the use of God's Word. Regardless of the season in which it is used, regardless of the language in which it is spoken, God's Word ceases not, weakens not, fails not. We sing of this in the form of hymn 297, stanzas 1, 4, and 6. 297, 1, 4, and 6.